saying, listen to me, come to me, I will carry you through every difficult of your life. Don't listen what people tells you. Don't carry on the blame and things that you have heard to hurt somebody else. So I was just thinking about that, and I say, you know, that's a good way to start, to answer your call. Answer your call. So we are here to answer our call because God is calling in so many ways. Sometimes he's calling directly, like he did with Moses. He said, go and deliver my people. Sometimes he's calling just openly, as an open with invitation. Remember the story between and the conversation in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6? Where God is in his holy of holies and he's, you know, surrounded by all the cherubims and seraphims and all the angels and everything is there worshiping him, saying, holy, holy, holy. So the conversation is going on and God said, who will go for us? And that was not a direct call. It was indirect call and it was a depend on who will answer. There will be a time in your life yet that God is calling and that will be not a direct call. It will be indirect call, but depend on your attitude, depend on your power of hearing, how you hear, to answer. Just like Isaiah says, I will go, send me, I will go. So that is the call. So let us pray, because there's a lot of kind of calls going on every moment, every day in our life, and we have to discern which one is from God and which one from the enemy of our soul. Which one is from the God who's saying, I can see your face in the hands of my palm. And every day, I know you are the best. And I pick you, I chose you, I create you, I give you my name, my identity to be who you are, what you were created, and what is your worth. So let us pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much. So many ways we can communicate. We can start our messages to inspire us, to get our attention. Thank you, Father, for this camp that have changed so many, many, many lives because they answer the call. And I pray, Father, for this morning, from young to adult and myself, give us ear to hear and heart to receive and power in our feet to walk according to your call. Thank you, Father. Use us all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I was preparing for this camp, guess what? As I was preparing, their call came to our home in Arizona. Kerry was on the phone with this caller guy and he was saying, I want to alert you, there is, you know, there's a fraud going on your credit card or your Amazon account. Somebody from Columbus, Ohio, trying to buy something on your name, faking that he is you. You need to go right now, check your IP address and go and check your router and everything and then go on a computer and I will tell you and lead you exactly where you need to go and then punch this number and I will clear all the mess that is going on in your account. So Kerry is talking to this person and I was upstairs and she was downstairs and she said, wait a minute, Faisal! She called me. I came down and we start talking and he was almost so tricky that I was also going to fall into the same trap. And we looked at each other when he says, you know, you can check my ID. I'm an Amazon representative and this and that. And I said in my mind, anybody can make it. Fake IDs. So Kerry and me look at each other and she said, you were scammed. Hang up the call. As I was thinking and preparing, I said, wow, that's a beautiful way to start because there's so many calls coming in our life and we have to discern which one is from God and which one from the devil. So, do you know there's anything about identity theft going on? Because we need to know these things. Because Bible says, you know, you shall know the truth, and truth will make you free. So there's a lot of, you know, these kind of calls going on, and I want to talk about this morning, because probably you are facing something like that in your daily life, because identity theft is a big problem for millions of people in today in the whole world, which we are living, and people are, you know, being robbed every day. It's too difficult to spot and notice and even recognize that someone and something is stealing from you. It is too difficult. That's why we need to have the ears to hear and mind to discern. So identity theft, you know, is very obvious, but it's not really obvious. You have to discern. This guy was just, you know, talking to us in our favor, saying, yeah, you're going to be robbed, you're going to lose your money, you're going to lose your credit card, you're going to lose everything. I am in your favor. And he was talking like that, but sounds good, but feels don't good. So we discern, and we said no. And that's why Bible says, Jesus says, you know, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, to destroy, but I, Jesus said, come to, you know, give life abundantly. He comes life abundantly. So I want to talk about identity theft, because that is going on not only in worldly level, but also it's going on in a spiritual sense every single day. And we see that. So many people every day being robbed, deceived, destroyed by the lawyer of this world, which is called Satan. He's calling. He's calling, like, you know, the book of Proverbs chapter 5 is talking about, you know, this woman from her home, calling the innocent, the simple mind, to trap him, to trap her, to destroy his youth. To destroy his youth. So Satan is there to deceive young and old and every age, every woman, every believer about their identity. And this theme, I believe, is a perfectly fit when Peter says, what is Peter says? Anybody have memorized that passage? But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who call you out of darkness into his marvelous light. There's a lot of good things going on in this passage, and I was just thinking about who call you out of darkness. The word call, if we look at it in a Greek language, it is like, you know, inviting you, or the other word, I'm bidding on you. When God calls us out of darkness, he's bidding on us to be his proclaimer of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's why he's saying, these things are your. You are chosen generation. Not an accident. You are royal priesthood, so you can come to me anytime, any minute, any moment to talk to me, have a favor, have understanding, just like this guy Sylvester Stone was talking to his son. I watch you growing up. I can hold you in my hand. You were doing good, but on your way, you got distracted. You got somewhere else. You start believing what you were not born to be. We are born to reflect the glory of Jesus Christ. So many people are being robbed every day, deceived every day by the Satan about their spiritual identity, and that is called identity theft. So don't forget who you are, and I want to keep on going. I have several questions for you. Do you know who you are? Do you know what is your worth in Christ? If you have, in case, forgot it, make a list who you are in Christ. What is your worth? Who paid the price for you? This morning and last night, we were talking to children. Hey, are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Yes, sir. What is the gospel? Christ died for my sin, and he's offering everyone to receive the gift of God by faith in Christ plus nothing. That's it. Share the gospel. Be the people that you are God called you. And I was telling them, find out your worth. And where we find the worth of our soul, the lover of our soul, he's the Jesus Christ. And I was just studying about, you know, there's so many names and titles and symbols that is very similar to Jesus Christ in the New Testament that is given to a believer in Christ. There's 272 names and titles and symbols and a reflection that reflect just like we and Christ are the same. If he's the chosen one by God, if we believe in him, we are the chosen one. If he's the royal, if he's the high priest, king, and priest that go before the throne of God, he have given us this bypass to go before the throne of God anytime. So I want you to make a list who you are in Christ and write down those passages or maybe titles. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm a body of Christ. I'm a you know, helper. I'm a wisdom. I'm this and that. Because that's what Bible calls us to do. From out of darkness to marvelous light. And games don't end there. The thief, Satan, wants to steal, to destroy, to kill, and deceive you about the calling of God in your life, on your life. Again, God is on heaven in this whole spiritual realm. He's sitting up there and he have bit on you and me, saying he's my player. He's going to play the part to be the divine partaker through the Spirit of God, by the written word of God, to reflect the living word of God, which is Jesus Christ. We are bitten by God to be chosen regeneration. Don't forget that. We are not whimper. Like Mark says yesterday, last night, we are victor, not wimpy. Wimpy. So live like that. So I have a question, because there's a two kind of mentality in this world. We can, you know, putting in everything together and different categories. Yeah. Categorize. Yeah, that's the word. It's a big one. Different categories, there's a different name, different things to put together, but there's only come down to two. Are you victor or victim? Because that's what the guy was telling him. You can play as long as you want to be victim. Because victim mentality is not good, but the victor mentality is awesome. So how that happened? Because your gratitude will determine your attitude. If you have a bad gratitude over your shoes, your socks, your food, your environment, your life, you're going to have a bad attitude. And if you have a bad attitude, you're not going to fly high. And that's the question. Which will mean lead you? Which one you will be? Like an eagle or turkey? And you know the big difference with turkey and eagle. Turkey pick everything on the ground, obliviously, you know, have nothing going on and just, you know, going down, goggle, 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 goggle. Easy target. But eagles fly high. And Bible tells us that's one of them believers' name. According to Isaiah 40, he says, you know, fly like eagles. Psalm says, you know, the believer's youth will be renewed as eagle. There's a lot to learn in the Bible about eagles. So that is our mentality. Our gratitude leaves our attitude. Our attitude leaves our altitude, how high we will fly. And that's our choice. We want to fly like a turkey and land soon and crash, or we want to fly like eagles. So victim mentality or victor mentality, that is upon us. So victim mentality, I want to talk about, what is a victim mentality? The victim mentality is believing that you are helpless against the challenges of life. Victim mentality leads you to weakness, self-doubt, apathy, disappointment, timidity, depression, misery, poverty, sickness, uselessness, disgrace, submission, servitude, defeat, drug abuse. That's a big word. So self-pity, unfitness, unfairness, purposeless life, or existence as, you know, fruitful life on this earth. It's all about me, me, me. I'm being hit. I've been abused. I've been told this. You are a piece of that. You are that. That's a victim mentality. Don't have a victim mentality, because 2 Timothy 2:1-7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." I'm going to teach you two F words. Surprise, not the bad one, the good one. Two F words. Are you ready for? Before we go there, I want to talk about the victor mentality. So the victor mentality is believing that God has complete sovereignty over my all circumstance, full control in my life, no matter what people say and do to me and how they put me down. Victor mentality. Victor always welcome the challenges of life, love, overcoming them, and thrives. That's a victor mentality. Victor mentality leads you to strength, confidence, perseverance, success, boldness, contentment, joy, wealth, health, aptitude. Wow, that's a big word. I don't know how I read that. Self-improvement, compassionate, fitness, willpower, greatness, spiritual richness, and seeing life through the eyes of God's viewpoint. That's a victor mentality. Looking life through the eyes of God, putting the goggles of Holy Spirit and seeing and viewing life. No matter how deep you are in the water, you can see clearly, that is the purpose of my life. So that's a victor mentality. And there's more, because victor mentality is gained. We are not born with that. And faith is the victorious and overcome the victimized mentality. Your faith can do a lot. So that's why don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. They are like a pillar. So Romans 5:1-5 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith," we are going to learn the F word after that. And you will have a new light of F word. A lot of time it's used on a traffic, on a rainy day, on a sunny day, on a hot day, on a bad day. But you can use this F word, it will remain you, sustain you, refine you, uplift you, and guide you, and uphold you. Because the right word, F, is used in a right way. So Paul says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into his grace which we stand." He's going back what Peter's saying. We can go back what Peter says, you know, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, you have access to God by faith in Christ, and stand as a holy nation." Holy moly, I heard holy moly, I heard holy cow, I heard many other things, but that is a magnificent to hear God saying you are holy nation. Wow. Take a moment and swallow that truth. Holy nation. Holy moly. His own special people, and he goes on to say, and rejoice in hope of glory of God, and not only that, we also glory in tribulations. When life hit you hard, guess what? Go back. Your stand in faith in Christ. And, you know, through tribulations, we get to know what? Produce perseverance. If you want to have a perseverance, you should choose some tribulations, because that's a good way to look at life. If you want to learn forgiveness, find somebody who's guilty and exercise, because faith, all forgiveness always object guilty. Otherwise, can never ever exercise forgiveness if there's a no guilt. You want to learn love? Find someone who is unlovely. That's how you can exercise your love. I remember long, long ago, I learned from Pastor Gene, and he was talking about when you pray, God give me wisdom, he will give you a decision. God guide me, he will send before a path. God give me strength. And there will be a moments in your life to be so broken and weak, and you will find strength. God, I want to give me heart to forgive. God will bring somebody guilty in your life so you can exercise. So through tribulations, we knowing the tribulation produce perseverance, and the perseverance produce what? Characters, not actors. My C's are bad, my T's are bad, my H's are bad. So how you say characters or characters? Characters. There you go. I'm learning from you and you learning from me. That's how it goes. And what happened after that? Hope born. And now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured into our heart by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. The Holy Spirit given to us. That's the best compass in your life. You can rely on him. Any compass, any guidebook will fail you. But if you have ear to hear, the Holy Spirit will never. Only when we fail, because we fail because we were stupid. So are you ready to learn F word? Okay, God wants to be a victor, not a victim. Get out of your system. Flush that system. Reboot your system. If you need to change your vocabulary, your mentality, your delete everything from your old motherboard. You know computer have a motherboard? Yeah. Yeah, they have a motherboard that holds all kind of data. And you have a brain, I call that human motherboard. You need to reboot. You need to clean up your system. Change your vocabulary, because God wants to be a victor, want you to be a victor, not a victim. Do you know what does faith stand for? Right there. False evidence appearing real. That's the one word, F word. F-E-A-R. Everything that is showing like real but is not real. Do you know what does faith stand for? F-A-I-T-H. Fallen humankind, adopted by God, intentionally unlimited atonement, transferred by the Holy Spirit, held by the holy hands of Jesus. That is faith. Faith is like, you know, your chair, putting all your burden on it, all your weight on it. And that is a Jesus. Putting everything on him, lean on him, depend on him. And that's recognized, I am a fallen but adopted. I am not left behind, I'm included by choice in the family of God. My price has been paid, and I'm going to be transferred day by day by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus Christ's finger will lead me. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I feel no fear. Your staff and your rod is with me. So those are the two F word. A new light. Bulbs just turn up. You were thinking one the moment when I was at the red light and I was saying bad word. Oh, I can say now the good word. So those are the F words. So call. You are called beyond the call of duty. I want to talk about Moses. When we look at the life of Moses, it's recorded in the Bible, his life was only 121 years. Some of them, you want to have that wish to live 121 years old. And some of them saying, get me out of here. I don't want to be here. So his life can be, you know, summarized in three steps. Each step is 40 years. First 40 years in Egypt, he was like a king. Actually, not like a king. He was a king. And second 40 years in the Midian area where he was a shepherd, taking care of sheep, smells like sheep. And then the last third 40 years from Egypt to Canaan, where he was acting like a priest or prophet or leader. What you have to do with that? What can we learn from him? A lot. Because first 40 years I was talking to Pastor Gene and he was explaining me and saying something about quoting that first 40 years Moses was trying to be whatever he was not. For first 40 years he was not the king. He was not somebody that he need to be, but he was trying to do that. Some of us, we do that in our life. We're trying to manipulate our mind, our soul, that we are who we are, not really. First 40 years, but one day the light bulbs go on. He goes outside and see the suffering and persecution of his own brethren. He recognizes who he is really. When he was struggling like Jacob with the angel of the Lord, when he came face to face with the Lord and recognized who he is really called by God. Some of them we have to go through before we, you know, go in the wilderness. We have to be in the palace. And when we come so much comfortable in a palace, God will take us to wilderness to lead us, to guide us, to train us. And that's what God did. He took him from palace to wilderness, where he recognized what life he was living. It was not really what he's supposed to be. God took him out of palace into the wilderness to teach him to become a shepherd. You know the shepherd definition? It's not just, you know, herding sheep. Shepherd is a well-trained man with a mentality and integrity and skills. If times come to seek harm on his own sheep, he will kill whatever creature is coming to harm his own sheep. He's a man of integrity, skills, and a great mentality. So God wants us to take from our own castles to the wilderness where he can teach us and lead us and guide us to be the man that he wants us to be. And after he was trained for 40 years, God said, okay, you are ready. Because I bit on you on the day when all Egyptian was going crazy and killing all the male boys. I took you, I call you, I set apart you to go into the king's home, to live there, to learn and become something that you would not even dream of it. And I will take that training and skills and everything and use for my glory. So king become a shepherd and shepherd become a priest, or you can say prophet. And that's we are in Christ. He wants us to be our individual man and woman of God, to be like a king, to be like a princess, to be like a shepherd, to lead and guide, and to be like a priest, to stand before him, because priests have a great responsibility. I'm not talking about a Catholic priest, give you a little wife, white bread and drink juice for himself and say something in Greek and Latin and go on your way. Priests have a much more bigger responsibility to stand before God, between man and God. So you are your own person because God calls you. So that's the life of Moses. So here we go. Christian, find victories only as he or she starve the old sin nature and feed the new nature. You guys get hungry. I got hungry too. There's a saying I think my nieces used to say, Uncle Faisal, Uncle Faisal. I said, what? You eat what you are. Right? How do you say that in English? You are what you eat. There you go. I'm thinking in Urdu language. That's good. I'm checking if you're waking up too. So, whatever you will feed your old sin nature, that will be, you know, dominating you. Whatever you feed your new nature, he will thrive. He will guide you, lead you, strengthen you. And I want to tell you, the old sin nature is a very good swimmer, like a well-trained Navy SEAL. You can put him away, you can cover him up, you can, you know, do whatever you want, but he will come back again. That is the mentality of old sin nature. He will not leave us until we are face to face with the glory of Jesus Christ, until we are depart from this body. So he's going to keep fighting just like any well-trained Navy SEAL. So don't feed on to your old sin nature who's like a well-trained swimmer. He will devour you. He will consume you, because the old sin nature is a very well. He worked with the world. He worked with the old, you know, the Satan and his systems, and he will not drag you down according to Galatians chapter 5. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of your old sin nature. So what are you feeding? Your soul, that is going to guide you. That will be the compass. So put that in your mind. He's a well-trained Navy SEAL. You know what is Navy SEALs. Well-trained. In every field of life, in water, in sand, in land, in jungle, in high, in the air, in the plain, everywhere, they are, you know, well trained to destroy the enemy. So in this sense, the old sin nature is our enemy. He wanna destroy us. So don't listen to him. The Christians finds victory only as he or she starve the old sin nature and feed on the new nature, which is your new life. So who's you feeding? Who's you feeding? And how are you feeding? This is the best food you can ever consume for your soul. Memorize this book, it will help you. Eat this book, it will make you healthy. Some of them, you're giving me face like I came from Pakistan. Yes, I am. You can memorize this book. According to last night's passage, Joshua 1:8, meditate on this book day and night. It will give you success in every field of life. Feed on this book, as Jeremiah says, Jeremiah 15:16, I found his word and I ate it. That's why last night I was asking how many burgers you can eat. Some of them said one, some of them said five. I was preparing you how much Word of God you can consume a day. Jeremiah 50:16 says, you know, I found your word and I ate it and it is a delight to my soul. Then another passage. Job chapter 23 verse 12. Treasure it. I was talking to the young ladies at the class. I said, you know, do you have a treasure chest? They said, yes, sir. I said, so what you put in your treasure chest? Something good we can reflect back when we are grown up. This is was given by my mom, my brother, my dad, and I'm going to show to the next generation. This is in my jewel chest box. So I said, that's wonderful. But what you are treasuring in your soul? According to Job 23 verse 12, he said, I have not disobeyed the word of your lips, but I have treasured your words more than my Burger King, more than my necessary or daily food. And that's, you know, Jesus saying in the wilderness when he was a 40-day, 40-night having a conflict with Satan. And he said, man shall not live alone by bread, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So meditate on it. Joshua 1:8, to eat it. Jeremiah 15:16, treasure it. Job 23:12, and make it light. Psalms 119, verse 105. Your word is a light to my path. Make a shield. Ephesians 6, verse 17 and 18. Your word is like a sword. Hebrews 4:12, your word is alive, like, you know, live and powerful and like a two-sword edge. Memorize, man. Memorize the word of God. Commit your soul to word of God, because as you will feed your old sin nature, that will dominate you. As you feed your new sin nature, your new nature, it will dominate the old sin nature. And he will be there somewhere in the corner like a hidden Navy SEAL, and he wanna attack you, but you are, you know, feeding your soul with the Word of God. So I wanna talk to you about what is the meaning of true life to you. What is the true meaning of life to you? And I was just typing down some things so you can jot that down. Life is a challenge. Obvious need to, you know, stand up and meet it. Life is a challenge, meet it. Life is a gift, accept it. A lot of people are not accepting life as a challenge. They are saying this is a ticket for Abu Dhabi. This is a ticket for, you know, Hawaii. This is a ticket for going to, you know, some exotic place. Life is a challenge, meet face to face. Life is a gift, accept it. Life is an adventure, dare it. Life is a sorrow, overcome it. Life is a tragedy, face it. Life is a duty, perform it. Life is a mountain peak, hike it. Some of them you don't like to hike because the waist of your back shows. Life is a mystery. Dissolve it. Solve it. Unclose it. Find it. Life is a joyful sing. Sing it with a joyful harmony. Not saying, me. Poor me. Why I was born in America, where I have given everything, but I'm not happy over my Snickers. And this and that. Skittles too. You know, you've been listening to me. Life is a joyful song. Sing it. Joy to the Lord. Life is an opportunity. Take it. A lot of people are taking their life in their own hands. I want to tell you, I hardly tell this story. When I was little, living in Pakistan, and life was very tough. There was a lot of bully around me. It was not treating me good, and I tried to take my life to commit suicide. I just want to stop it. I want to just end it. And I took a little rope and try first time when there's like, you know, little stars showing up my eyes and the darkness coming on me. I got scared and I stopped. That again, I found something in me and I said, I will try again. So I tried to do again to take my life out of my body, my miserable existence. And I did that, and while I was doing, I heard the voice. Coward, you want to die like a coward? And that got my attention. If you want to die, die like a hero. If you want to die, die like a something worth for dying. Why you want to die like a coward? And somebody, the generation will come after you and say, so-and-so, my great-great-grandfather and great-great-great-whatever, die that way. Life is an opportunity. Take it. Don't lose it. And I change my mind. I say, you know, I don't want to die like a coward. So there's a lot of time we act like a coward, but God's saying, I got you. I have you. And my time is running. I think we got 14 minutes. Another one. Life is a journey. Complete it. It's going to be difficult. And if you don't understand, join us in the morning run. Join us in the morning run. Jacob, Caleb, Trey, David, Cade, who else there? Mama Texas. Thank you. They all know life is a journey. When you are inclining and declining and gravity is pushing you down, when your all body is aching, guess what? Complete it. By the way, Jacob and Cade, they did fairly over 7 miles this morning. And they are still standing, still walking. And tomorrow they want to be Sugar Cookie. If you don't have seen the movie, Sugar Cookie, they want to be roll in sand. They were practicing today, rolling over the concrete. And that was a fun. It's good. So life is a journey, complete it. Life is a promise, fulfill it. Fulfill your promise. The day we were born, the day we took a first breath on this planet, God had bet on us. He's going to be the best player in my team, in my royal family. I will provide him everything, everything he ever needs. The choice is his, choice is her, how he is going to use it. Life is a beautiful, life is a beauty, praise it. Life is a struggle, fight it. Life is a goal, achieve it. Life is a puzzle, solve it. Life is a choice, choose it. Life is a test, you better believe it. Life is a test, you better believe it. Life is a love, live it, love it. Life is a call, receive it. And that's why I want to end with this one. Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, call me and I will give you answer. That is a promise of God. As Pastor Gene was saying, roughly there's over 7,000 promises in the Bible we can claim. If you want to claim this one, Jeremiah, write it down, God's number. Like, you know, for in a life in emergency, we call 911. And blue lights and red lights coming on the streets, full power, geared up and say, coming, where's the trouble? We will clean up. We will rescue you. We will solve your problem. We will help you. Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, God says, call me. Brrr, 333. There's no country code. There's no have to be pay any taxes on it. It's a free tax phone. Even you don't need a service for, you know, AT&T or any other, you know, Verizon. It's 24-hour lines open without any interruption. Call Jeremiah 33, verse 3, and God said, I am promising you. You call me, and I will answer, and I will reveal the hidden things to you that is unknown to you. So when you cannot find the answers, call your Almighty Abba. Call your big brother, Jesus. Call your heavy lifting champion, the best of best, anywhere in the world. Arnold Snuggles, whatever his name. Yeah, Arnold. Short Sniggers is nothing. He's nothing. He's nobody in the bodybuilding realm. Call. Did I say something wrong? Forgive me if I said something wrong. Yeah, Arnold, Bruce Lee, whatever, the hero. Call God. Call heavy weightlifting champion. You know who he is? Holy Spirit. Because that is the meaning of the helper, lifting the burden from the other side. He will lift up your burden. He will not say, you know, I will carry on me. No. That's why Jesus says, call upon me and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He will say, you know, come on, buddy, get up. I will share the burden. So call his life, receive it. Call God. Call Jesus anytime. By the way, that's God's number. You want to know Jesus' number? 77. Matthew 7:7. Knock and it will be open to you. Seek, you will find. Ask and you will receive. That's Jesus' number to me. Matthew 7:7. And Holy Spirit number is Romans 8, verse, I think, 28. The way we should pray, we don't know how to, but the Spirit of God help us how to pray. Actually, he's the translator, helper, heavy weightlifting champion in our spiritual life. So let us pray, and I want to say, end with this. Answer the call. You know your call. Some of them we are being called right now. Call beyond duty. Like Moses. He was terrified. When God says, Moses, go deliver my people. He said, uh-uh. I won't go. I just killed a man on that land. I'm wanted. How can I go? How can I tell? God said, go tell them who sent you. What should I tell them? Tell them, I am the I am who has sent you. Let my people go. Be a Moses in your life for your friends, your family, your school, your community, your country, or even somebody sometime for your own self. Your old sin nature is going to keep up going, come back and back and back and fight you. So it's going to take a long journey. So answer the call. It was very easy for God to take Israel out of Egypt, but it took over 40 years to take Egypt out of them. This old sin nature fight is going to be end when we are face to face with Jesus Christ. So fight it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, and bless young men and women, Father, and may your name be glorified. And if I have make any mistake with the pronunciation or offend anybody, Father, now there's opportunity to exercise forgiveness, to exercise love, to exercise patience, to exercise compassion. So Father, I pray for these young men and women. Father, bless them. May your Spirit guide them. May your Spirit be heavyweight lifting champion, as is in my life and their life. So give us all ear to hear, and may your name be glorified, that we are called out of darkness into marvelous light to reflect the purpose of life that you've given to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you very much.